So I want to thank you for joining us in worship. We wrapped up last week our half-truths, and if you are needing to catch up on those, they are all on the website. If you just go to stlukechat.org/messages, you can actually hear music from Jerron and Bill, and you can catch up on all of your favorite sermons from me and also from John Hargraves, who preached three times during that last series. So I want to just take a moment to say that we are starting this new series. It is Lent, right? It is that time of year where we remember Jesus' walk through the wilderness, his temptation in the desert. It is that time of year where we remember the ancient Israelites leaving Egypt and walking through the desert and on their way to the promised land. Amen. It is also the perfect time of year to remember what it really means, what grounds us and roots us in the love of God and Christ Jesus as followers of Jesus. So this series is called The Walk. It's five essential practices of the Christian life. We'll be, over the next few weeks, we'll be covering worship and study, serving and giving and sharing. Now, I sat with this for a minute and I realized, I don't know, maybe it's just me, those sound a lot like our membership vows of prayers and presents and gifts and service and witness. Does that ring true for anybody else? That in everything we do, God may be glorified. But I was reading a little bit about this series, and Adam Hamilton said they called this the walk because Jesus's disciples and followers literally walked with him. God, that's really simple, isn't it? They followed Jesus sometimes in mass. We know those stories, the feeding of the 5,000. All, by and large, on foot. They walked. Remember Jesus meeting the disciples on the road to Emmaus, walking? The walk. And it's not lost on me that sometimes within early Christianity, it is referred to as the way, emphasizing that the faith in Christ is a journey, not a religion. And as heirs of John Wesley, we believe that salvation includes both the moment that we receive that justifying faith, as we receive the love of God in Christ Jesus, that free, unadulterated, pure gift, and the path we travel, growing and maturing in our faith by the power of our companion and advocate, God's Holy Spirit. Wesley called that part sanctification. It is a both and for us as followers of Wesley. And so in a season where we are remembering this walk of the Israelites through the desert, this temptation of Jesus and the road that we go to as we follow Christ as his followers through to Jerusalem and the cross, and the empty tomb, amen. We ourselves are walking. So this week we begin on our journey. Are you ready? Do you need to like hop around a little bit, get that energy out? Do you need to stretch, right? Do you have good shoes? Do you need good shoes? That is very important. Ankle support and arch support, amen. We're going to start with the very simplest practice this morning. Worship. British theologian Evelyn Underhill, she wrote that worship is the response of the creature to the created. To the eternal, rather. The response of the creature to the eternal. Eternal creator would be my word. We see this across creation, don't we? From birds chirping and singing, to bees buzzing and whirring, from flowers to trees that we know actually produce a magnetic field that can be monitored and create noise. And we know that even the rocks cry out, amen. And guess what? We are creatures too. How do we respond to our eternal Creator? I think we just did. Jerron just sang for us as Bill played, I love you, Lord. Right? Is that worship? Is that a response to being a creature of the eternal Creator? And I lift my voice. Yeah? What about this? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. What about? Oh, come all ye faithful. What's the chief way we respond to our Creator? Say it for the people in the back out loud. Song, right? We are not birds, though we do and can make as beautiful of music. Amen. And do you know that the ancient Israelites had their own songbook too? They even had their own hymnal that we call the Book of Psalms. It's in our Bible. Like, we have this ancient hymn book. How cool is that? And it provides song in worship of God for all parts of life. Song for moments of joy and celebration. Songs of sorrow and desperation and lament. Lord, hear our cry. Songs of utter disbelief. How long, O Lord, will you turn your back to us? And these songs often occur in two different kinds of styles. Songs that are I songs, I worship, and songs of we worship, of corporate worship. Think about this. You've heard it said, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. That would be an example of an I worship, a personal worship song. And then our song this morning, Psalm 100. I promise not to get out the tambourine just yet. Make a joyful noise to all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are the Lord's. We are the people of God. We are the sheep of God's pasture. We worship. Amen and hallelujah. And you can find examples of this personal worship song and these corporate worship songs all throughout the book of Psalms. And I think it's really important because I believe that both worshiping God in our personal lives and in our life together helps build and grow our faith. Amen. But what does worship look like other than dancing around or singing or breaking out the tambourine? In the New Testament, there are three different words that are usually seen in our English translation of the word worship, right? The first one is proskuneo. It's used like 90 times, right? And it's the behavior of one who bows down, who genuflects and kisses the hand of someone who is greater. And it is also used by ancient Greeks to describe the behavior of a loyal dog and how they behave to their master. Now, I don't know about you all, but my loyal dog will sit on me every chance she gets. She is under my feet. She is happy to see me. She wants to jump in my lap and give me kisses. Just anybody else have a dog like that? There's also the word sebomai, which means approaching someone with reverence and awe, but like a little bit of hesitation. Like we would watch a thunderstorm passing in the summertime. We would sit under the screens and porch, perhaps, and not out in the field. Amen. And definitely not under the tree. Reverence and awe. Or like watching the ocean crash onto cliffs. Don't get too close. As my husband tells me, you don't ever get to the edge without being tied in. Amen. And then the third word that is used to describe worship is latruo, or latruo, which describes serving a master or superior, like lord, military superior, master. So I'm really curious, how do we worship as individuals and as a corporate body? Whether you are joining us online and listening to this after our 11 o'clock worship, or whether you are here in person, how are we worshiping? Are we excited to worship God as much as Swifties are excited to go to a Taylor Swift concert? Amen? I mean, like, yeah. Can you tell I am? Or are we as excited to worship God and be in God's presence as happy as much as our dogs are happy to see us when we get home? Climb in God's lap, make ourselves at home, snuggle up. Do we come to worship God with a little bit of fear and trepidation? With a little bit of reverence and awe? With a little bit of like, I'm going to watch it from the screen, that thunderstorm from the screen porch. I'm not going out in the field. Or I'm going to worship God like I'm just standing way back from that cliff and watch the ocean waves come and crash, but I am not getting too close. Or are we showing up to worship ready to get our marching orders for the week? As if we are waiting for our master and commander to tell us what to do next. How do you come to worship? Why do you come to worship? Oh, that's an even deeper and harder question. I'm going to offer a perspective that might be challenging to some of us, and probably myself even. Why we come to worship and how we come to worship, both personally and corporately, is not about us. Okay, I said it. Why and how we come to worship is not about us. Why and how we come to worship has everything to do about God. God is our audience. When we look at those three Greek words used in the New Testament to describe worship, they don't talk about us, do they? There is a subject of God. And it is our response to God, our eternal creator. Worship is not about us. It's our response. It is our giving back to God for this gift of life and love and freedom. Amen. And our journey as human beings, as creatures of an eternal creator, is toward a destination of God as our audience. Not that not what we're or I'm personally getting out of worship. That's not our destination. Rather, our destination is about what am I bringing to worship? What am I giving to worship? How are we responding as a body to our eternal Creator? Who reminds us through this season of Lent that death is not the end and that love overcomes even the grave. Hallelujah. Friends, this is a very simple journey, but it is a very strenuous journey. Because we live in a what's in it for me culture. We are saturated in what we want. Consume, 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 consume. And part of that is natural. How many of you understood the Spanish that Jerron was singing? See, sometimes we get hung up on languages, right? But when you heard Jerron sing that Spanish and you didn't know what it means, could your heart tell that it was a praise song to God? I see folks nodding their head, but I don't see anybody saying yes in agreement. Yes. So I want to help us as we are stretched in this season of Lent, of letting go what our preferences are, of even what the language we use is in terms of understanding worship in God. I want to give us two simple statements to ease us into this destination and this journey towards this destination around allowing our worship to be solely about God, to solely be our response to our Creator. These are really important, so if you want to write them down, feel free. Are you ready? Both for personal worship and corporate worship. Thank you, God. And if you want to take it further, thank you, God, for. It never hurts us to practice a little gratitude. Especially since studies have shown that only about 52% of women and about 40% of men show gratitude once a week. I'm in that boat. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for. If you can only think of one thing to say, thank you, God, for. Thank you, God, for the breath in my lungs. Say it. Thank you, God. And here's the second statement. Super simple. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, God. I love you, Lord. This fulfills the first important commandment, amen, that Jesus gave us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second we will get to in a couple weeks. Thank you, God. I love you, Lord. So throughout these next 40 days, as we journey to Holy Week, through Easter, through the resurrection, I want to invite you to start each morning with these two statements. Even if you can't find anything to thank God, just say, thank you, God. And then I want to invite you to end each evening when you're all done your nighttime routine and put your serums on and your mask and you've got your eye goggles on and your earplugs, just like I do. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, God. And over the next 40 days, as you say these two statements twice a day in the evening and in the morning, when you're rising and when you're going to sleep,
Notice how you come to worship. Notice how you come to your private worship, to your personal worship. Notice how you approach your prayer time to God, or even if you approach prayer time to God. Notice how you come to corporate worship. Are there any shifts in your attitudes around either? Notice any other changes that might be happening, and always with gentleness and curiosity. Amen.
So that's what we're going to do the next 40 days. Start our mornings off with thank you, God. Thank you, God, for. And I love you, Lord, and end our days the exact same way. If you would like to, you can also practice praying before food. And in your worship insert, there's actually a way to express your gratitude in a gratitude journal. And there's Psalm 100 for you to take home. If you want to put it in memory, fine. If you would like to be creative and make art out of it, fine. Engage with the psalm however the Holy Spirit prompts you. But I want to invite you to pray with me for this. Oh God, our deliverer, you led your people of old through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide now we, the people of your church and your church across all time and space, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world towards the glory of the world to come. Through Christ, who is our Lord and who lives and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, our one God, now and forever. Amen.